You're listening to the CyberWire Network, powered by N2K.
Hey, everybody. Today, I want to highlight a name that all of us know well, and that is our sponsor, Splunk. You need to keep operations humming around the clock, but potential disruptions are everywhere. Splunk helps you predict problems and find and fix issues fast so you can reduce risk and ditch downtime. The world's largest enterprises rely on Splunk's unified security and observability platform to become more efficient, resilient, and innovative. With Splunk, you can react quickly, evolve faster, and be ready for anything. Stay ahead of disruptions. Learn more at splunk.com/resilience. And we thank Splunk for sponsoring our show. In the dynamic world of enterprise security, identity architects and IT leaders face a major challenge. Growth by repeated acquisitions multiplies the complexity of everything. Multiple IDPs, MFA providers, policy engines that all need to coexist. This can lead to fragmented user identities and policies that create security vulnerabilities and add access friction. Strata Identity solves this. Now you can decommission unneeded IDPs and consolidate the ones you'd like to keep without rewriting apps or disrupting users, engineers, and app owners. Plus, Strata's modular architecture makes it easy to integrate with any identity provider without manual maintenance and coding. Join the ranks of cybersecurity leaders using identity orchestration. Visit strata.io/cyberwire, share your top identity security priorities, and receive a pair of complimentary AirPods Pro. Offer valid for organizations with over 5,000 employees. Step into a new era of identity management at strata.io/cyberwire.
German security services point to Russia as the culprit in last year's Bundestag hacks. Sentinel-1 continues to warn against black energy. The U.S. Congress looks at the now-closed Juniper back door and doesn't like what it thinks it sees. FireEye buys Invotus. Bell Aerospace acquires Wavefront. QuickHeal says it's ready for an IPO. And Alert Logic says it will be ready for its own next year. The cyber sector continues to watch the strange case of Norse. And finally, we take a look at the sorry wages of cybercrime. I'm Dave Bittner in Baltimore with your CyberWire summary for Tuesday, February 2nd, 2016. The 2015 breaches of Bundestag systems in Berlin, so far unattributed, are looking more like a Russian operation. An anonymous source within the Russian security services told Spiegel that the attacks were, quote, clearly attributable to a Russian military intelligence service, end quote. Deutsche Welle cites observers who think the deep game is destabilization of the European Union, with the playbook taken from hybrid operations Russia has conducted against Ukraine, cyber operations, exploitation of expatriate or ethnic Russian sentiment, and so on. Sentinel-1, having completed, it says, reverse engineering the Black Energy 3 malware kit, wants everyone to pull their heads out of the sand. A company executive is quoted by the Voice of America as saying, "This is cyber warfare. We need to wake up and see that this is war." Black Energy still seems an espionage kit, and the other observers wonder how it's implicated in what Sentinel-1 and others have called a widespread campaign aimed at disrupting utilities. Has Black Energy acquired some ability to manipulate control systems? This seems to most observers as doubtful. Or is it being used to harvest operator credentials? More investigation seems clearly in order. The U.S. Congress is turning its attention to the possibility that the encryption issue in Juniper products, which Juniper closed last month, may have its roots in an NSA-developed encryption algorithm widely suspected of having been constructed with an intentional backdoor. If that turns out to be the case, it may represent a security own goal. The U.S. government is a big Juniper customer, and the gear the feds bought and use apparently has a backdoor as big as anything sold to other customers. DDoS attacks have become, by many accounts, the single most common cyber assault on financial services enterprises. HSBC has recovered from last week's incident, but the trend looks like an enduring one. And not only banks are affected. The Elder Scrolls Online game reported a DDoS episode yesterday. Any enterprise that depends for its business on maintaining high levels of internet access for its customers is vulnerable to DDoS. Virtual private server provider Linode publishes a commendably forthright account of the attack it sustained at the end of December, including the lessons it learned in response. The motivations for DDoS are generally one of these three. Hacktivists who disapprove of an enterprise or of some cause connected with an enterprise often mount denial-of-service campaigns. Relatively easy and inexpensive to mount, DDoS ranks up with website defacements as a common hacktivist tactic. A second common motivation for denial-of-service attacks is extortion. In the early days of cybercrime, denial-of-service was used to hold online gambling sites up for ransom, and there's been some evidence that this form of criminal activity is enjoying an uptick. And finally, the third and in some ways most sophisticated use of DDoS is as misdirection for some other more serious attack. If you can occupy incident responders with a big, noisy denial-of-service campaign, they may well overlook, for example, your quieter efforts to gain persistence in their network. In industry news, FireEye makes another acquisition, this time of automation shop Invotus. This is thought to be a play that will improve incident response capabilities. Bell Aerospace enters the cybersecurity market with its purchase of Wavefront. QuickHeel is said to be preparing for an IPO next week, and Alert Logic says it's using 2016 to prep going public next year. Norse Corporation's main website is still dark, although its Dark Matters news page and labs site were online today. Forbes comments on what it calls the chaos left for presumably former employees, quoting Norse's CTO as rather surprisingly saying he doesn't know whether they're still in business. Forbes also notes the investment KPMG Capital made in Norse this past autumn, and CSO offers what it calls a deconstruction of Norse reports on Iranian cyber operations. It sees such reporting as a cautionary tale of what can happen at the intersection of marketing and tendentious analysis. And we conclude with some news on trends from the cyber criminal underground. With the big losses businesses report when they're hacked, aspiring cyber gangsters might imagine that cybercrime is a royal road to riches. But not so. As is usually the case, crime is less lucrative than fantasies of greed suggest. A Ponemon Institute study commissioned by Palo Alto Networks paints a familiar picture of crooks taking the obvious lowball score when they could really earn more money with an actual legitimate job. The comparison with street drug sales is obvious. The retailer runs huge risks with very little prospect of reward. Not that we're encouraging IT departments to hire criminals, or for that matter discouraging them, but really, you'd be much better off working at a help desk than trying to set up as a behoodied crime lord. The study suggests the typical cyber crook gets a bit less than $29,000 a year for an average of 705 hours of work. Granted, the 705 hours isn't full-time, but the pay is still not great. We're reminded of the scene in Donnie Brasco where Pacino's character is trying to break open a parking meter to get at quarters. The wages are low, and really, you're going to break your parents' hearts.
And now, a word from our sponsor, Zscaler, the leader in cloud security. Cyber attackers are using AI in creative ways to compromise users and breach organizations. In a security landscape where you must fight AI with AI, the best AI protection comes from having the best data. Zscaler has extended its zero-trust architecture with powerful AI engines that are trained and tuned by 500 trillion daily signals. Learn more about Zscaler Zero Trust Plus AI to prevent ransomware and AI attacks. Experience your world secured. Visit zscaler.com/zero-trust-AI. Don't struggle to align your organization's cybersecurity with business risk. Get the only solution that goes beyond reacting to threats with vulnerability and risk monitoring. You need the next evolution of MDR, and only Critical Start delivers it. Critical Start doesn't just monitor and respond to threats. They put you in control by detecting suspicious activities, quickly responding to contain threats, and identifying your most critical assets and protecting them against vulnerabilities and exposures. With continuous visibility, expert guidance, and measurable risk reduction, Critical Start has redefined what it means to manage cyber risk. demonstrate provable security maturity to your leadership while positioning your program to achieve the greatest risk reduction per dollar spent. Stop fearing risk and start managing it with Critical Start. Visit CriticalStart.com and request a demo today. That's CriticalStart.com.
Joining me is John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire. John, let's talk hacktivism. It comes up in the CyberWire fairly regularly. So what is hacktivism?
Well, you know what hacking is, right?
Of course.
Well, a hacker is someone who looks for and exploits weaknesses in computer systems or networks, and typically someone who does it illegitimately or illegally. Now, there can be white hat hackers who are legitimate vulnerability researchers, and there can be black hat hackers. Usually when people say hacker, they're typically talking about a black hat. So what's a hacktivist? There are all kinds of people who take action against computer systems and networks, and they can be distinguished and classified by their motivations. So, for example, a state intelligence service might hack for purposes of espionage. A cyber criminal has obvious criminal motives. What are they doing? They're looking to steal identities. They're looking to steal money. They're looking to extort ransoms, things like that. A hacktivist is someone who isn't motivated by money and who's not directed by a state. So a true hacktivist is motivated by political or religious or ideological considerations. That's a hacktivist.
What's the general view of hacktivists? Are they looked upon as being a force for good or good force for bad, or does it depend?
It depends on what you mean. And if you look around the world, you'll see different hacktivist riots, cyber riots going on all the time. There's a lot of cyber rioting, for example, in South Asia. And you see what people call patriotic hacktivism going on with people swapping hacks between Armenian and Azerbaijani.
Describe to me, what do you mean by a cyber riot? What is that?
A cyber riot is when you have, it's like a riot in physical space, except it's conducted in cyberspace. So what's a riot like? It's when you've got a lot of disorganized people running around, breaking things, looting, causing disorder. That's a riot. And a cyber riot is doing that in cyberspace. So if you've got a lot of people all of a sudden defacing websites, breaking into databases, things like that, and they're not doing it for any kind of obvious criminal motivation or for any kind of obvious, under any kind of obvious central state direction, that's probably a cyber riot. And it's blurry because just as you have people who riot to protest or to break things, you've also inevitably got the people who are running along behind the other rioters looting from stores. The same thing happens in cyber rioting.
John Petrick, editor of the CyberWire. Thanks for joining us. We'll talk again soon.
Managing the requirements for modern security programs is increasingly challenging and time-consuming. Enter Vanta. Vanta gives you one place to centralize and scale your security program. Quickly assess risk, streamline security reviews, and automate compliance for ISO 27001, SOC 2, and more. You can leverage Vanta's market-leading trust management platform to unify risk management and secure the trust of your customers. Plus, use Vanta AI to save time when completing security questionnaires. CyberWire daily listeners can get $1,000 off by going to vanta.com/cyber. That's vanta.com/cyber.
And that's the CyberWire. We are proudly produced in Maryland by our talented team of editors and producers. I'm Dave Bittner. Thanks for listening. And now a word from our sponsor, Netskope. Netskope is a worldwide leader in SASE and Zero Trust. Its unified platform, Netskope One, provides optimized access and zero-trust security for people, devices, and data anywhere they go. helping customers reduce risk, accelerate performance, and get unrivaled visibility into any cloud, web, and private application activity. To learn more about how Netskope helps customers be ready for anything on their SASE journey, visit netskope.com.